My guest tonight is Ian Bailey.
The most economical way to heat your home in an environmentally friendly way, choose a Boru stove.
You are all very welcome back to All That Matters. My guest tonight is a Manchester man by birth who has taken up residence in West Cork, I don't know how many years ago, well-known journalist, author, and I think he's a couple more strings to his bow in other areas as well. So it's my pleasure to introduce to you Ian Bailey. Good evening and welcome to All That Matters.
Well, good evening. Thank you very much. It was actually 30 years ago last week that I left the decomposing nation and, you know, came to Ireland to live. So, yeah.
Well, welcome to Club Ireland. Ian Bailey, you're very welcome to All That Matters. So, Ian, listen, can you tell me about your life growing up in Manchester in the United Kingdom?
Well, I was born in St. Mary's Hospital on a cold night in January 1957. I grew up above my father's butcher shop in Stockport, Cheshire. And my earliest recollections were playing in sandpits and going to the zoo in Manchester and going to the Flicks on matinees. And I'm going to Blackpool on holidays and making sandcastles. Yeah.
That was your childhood. Ian, what did you say to this? Look, that was your childhood years, right? Your teenage years.
Eugene, just to explain it simply, so when I was about six, I think my father moved away from Manchester. He sold his shop. He was the master butcher and finished up settling in a town called Gloucester in the West Country of England. And I went to junior school there and then qualified to go to a thing called grammar school. We had a thing called grammar school.
Yeah.
And I was very sporty. I used to play football. My school played rugby, cricket, basketball. And I had a good education. My parents were, and I must say, Kenneth, my father, and Brenda, my mother, Welsh mother, both are now, you know, reside in another realm. And I was lucky, and I loved English. I loved poetry, and I took to writing in English and easily, and then subsequently I followed the path of a journalist. But I was always poetic.
Oh, Ian, I'm glad you actually said that to me now, because I was actually going to lead on to that. From the poetic point of view, and we'll move on to journalism shortly afterwards, was there any people in your life who influenced your writing in respect to poetry?
Well, I think the answer to that is my father taught me how to read and my mother taught me how to write, and my father would read to me. And he gave me a poem when I don't know how old I was, maybe six or seven. And it wasn't a nursery rhyme. It was a poem called If by Rudyard Kipling, which begins, if you can lose, keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. It's a great poem. And I think that was the first real poem that I can recall. After Mary Had a Little Lamb, you know, and this and the other.
Yeah. So what I'm going to say to knowing is at this point is, okay, right. You then took the steps, as you say, into journalism in college, right?
So I did grammar school and I was indentured into journalism as a freelance with an agency in Gloucester at the age of, I think, 18, thereabouts.
Yeah. So, Ian, look, what I would really like to get into here is, right, and it's the topic, like, look, I always ask everybody, was there people, quotations, songs, or anything particular that influenced your particular path in life?
Well, I think that poem, If, really, probably, you know, it stood me in good ground. I felt it's a piece of advice from a father to a son. And really, I mean, if anybody doesn't know that poem, they should read it. And it's very good advice. You know, so I think that was, and then my grandmother used to sing hymns, and that's why I finished up being like singing in choirs, and I was a choir boy, and I still am, you know, like pop-up choirs. My Welsh grandmother used to sing the Welsh national anthem in Welsh to me. I wouldn't even attempt it, because even the Welsh can't understand what the Welsh means. But so I was into singing, and then I went to a school, the Crypt School in Gloucester, and I was in the choir there, and I sang in cathedrals, and then I sang in what they call the treble, you know, the young male. But then, of course, after, you know, puberty kicks in, you finish up singing lower and lower.
Dear to your influences, you said that home, if, was quite a big influence on your life going forward. Well, you know, it was a mantra going forward, as we might call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, right, okay. So at that point, you said, right, your path into journalism, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody's going to read me a piece of poetry here, aren't they?
No, it's okay. Anyway, come on. Yeah. Well, there was a natural link between being good at English and writing and poetry and journalism. You know, to me, at that time, it seemed fairly, you know. Yeah. So I became, a journalist.
Right. Finally, Ian, on that topic and sticking with writing, right? As you say yourself, you have wrote. Is it 2 books or 1 book? I don't know what's in my notes. Is it?
Well, I've got two books, two collections of poetry, The Westcourt Way, and a second collection called A John Wayne State of Mind. I've published my legal master's legal thesis from UCC on police accountability in Ireland on Amazon. And I'm working on other projects and, you know, yeah.
Right. Going back to that question about your first book and poetry. Ian, right, is there any chance you could recite or off your top of your head, actually, at least one verse from that? Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a performance poet. I've got a one-man show. I brought it out a new DVD, by the way, which is available. So I'd give you a poem that I wrote that I thought I went through all my stuff, papers, and I came across one I'd forgotten I'd written. It's called The Representative. Well, I give you that, it's short and sweet.
Brilliant.
Okay. And there's a salutary message in this, not to be taken too seriously. So, we elected Johnny from the bog the other day. Yeah. 1,000 country cousins at the ballot box held sway. Yeah. Now, you see, Johnny is our kith and kin, though he never really worked a day at all. So the only chance we had for him was to elect him to the Doyle. We took a lovely photograph and we bought a megaphone and we printed on every poster, Johnny proclaims Pogue Mahone. The electorate was amazed at this cultural decree, for they'd not heard the Gaelic use and sat upon their grandma's knee. So guess what? They voted in our Johnny with a grand majority. The moral of the story is, do not mock democracy. Do not mock democracy. Shin shin.
Really, Margot. That is very good. You know, I know. I just had to get something
it's
out.
It's got nothing to do with it. I just.
It's nothing got to do with any local politics.
As a lawyer, it's got nothing to do with the Healy Rays.
Rolling on, right. Looking at as you said, you wrote another book about police accountability in Ireland. Now, that is for another show, okay? Right, we can look at that book in detail in another show. But outside of that, Ian, look, is there any pieces of journalism that you are actually proud of, or any particular news group you've wrote for that you're particularly proud of that piece?
Well, I was part of what they called the Sunday Times Insight team back in the day, back in the 80s, which was an investigative unit of the Sunday Times. And I think I was very proud of the work I did there. And that was to do with an organization called GCHQ, the Government Communications Headquarters in Cheltenham, Gloucestershire, where I lived. And there was a big spying scandal. And my specialty was breaking stories that people did not want to come out into the public.
Well, thank you for that. Now, that's a great inspiration into a guy. So, Ian, you decided after so many years, we just say up to 30 years ago, Ian, you decided to take from the west coast of the United Kingdom to the west coast of Ireland, down to the singing republic of Cork. So you went from, we say, a red devil to a rebel. Would that be a good way of putting it?
Yeah, I hadn't made that connection, but yes, fair enough.
Yeah, well, Manchester United have been the Red Devils, and of course, you've been the Rebels.
Absolutely, yeah. And I've always, when I analyse my own character, I've always been an anti-establishmentarian, cursed, questioning, rebellious lone wolf.
So, in other words, you found your country base.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You found your landing
base. Amongst my many big heroes and influences, Muhammad Ali was one of my early ones. George Best was another one. But latterly, and more, you know, recently in my later life, Michael Collins became a great inspirational force for me, and still is to this day.
Oh. And of course, since we have brought up that topic, and about inspirational people, and those are the people who are gone ahead of us. So Ian, as I say to every guest that comes on the show, a time will come in our lives when we will pass on to another place, right? Mm-hmm. And as we're outside of our nearest and dearest, is there any particular person or personality you would like make a beeline to when you get the nod from the bouncer at the gates, St. Peter?
Well, I mean, assuming that I'm going upstairs and not downstairs, I think the first thing I'd do would be to get St. Peter's clearance to organise a little crackers, kiol and a session. And I'd invite various musicians along. I'd invite my mother and father along, of course, and my Welsh grandmother. And I'd invite, Rory Gallagher, I guess, Leonard Cohen, John Prine, Petty, and if I first people I'd want to see would be my mother and father, Ken and Brenda, and my Welsh ancestry, grandmother Annie. And then I'd get St. Peter's permission to organize a little session. People who are up there, like Liam O'Flynn, like Paddy Maloney, John Lennon, George Harrison, Rory Gallagher, Jimi Hendrix, even maybe. To come, and Carolyn with his harp and various other people to come along and have a session, and I'd be the faratee for that night, and we'd have grand crack, right. I can tell you.
Yeah, see, you'd invite Hendrix anyway, and Rory Gallagher, that is a good pick of clients. Now, Ian.
Well, they always said about the question that was asked of Jimi Hendrix often was, what's it like to be the best guitarist in the world, Mr. Hendrix? And his response was, go and ask Sir Rory.
You know. I actually heard that actually on one of the Cork radio stations. I don't know which one it was, but somebody came up at that point, they asked Hendrix, and Hendrix turned around and said, that's Rory Gallagher. That's Rory Gallagher. I thought it was very well said. Right.
Yeah.
So I'd like to thank Ian Bailey, Ian Kenneth Bailey, for an insight into his life. And the reason he decided to go from being the Red Devil to the Rebel and head down to the west coast of Cork and write about that part of the wild Atlantic Way. Ian Bailey, it's been an honour and a privilege to have you as my guest on All That Matters. Good night, God bless, and remember, let's be careful out there.
Iowa, and remember this. Ishvedalin.
Good. And remember, Ian, let's be careful out there.
The most economical way to heat your home in an environmentally friendly way, choose a Boru stove.